I'm going to talk about the animus and the anima as psychological functions that work together and that have nothing to do with gender. So we're going to be throwing out the whole gendered aspect for tonight, and we're essentially going to be throwing out the whole classical model of anima and animus. It's been something that I've had a particular problem with, because it just didn't make sense inside my own psychology. So I've done a lot of work with trying to understand what makes more sense to me and what seems to fit the people that I see and the way their psyches function in the 1980s as opposed to the late 1800s and early 1900s when Jung started talking about the anima and the animus. So the first thing that you need to do for tonight is drop the idea that the animus is the inner male. And what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the beginning, to the first place where Jung described the particular function that the anima and the animus represent in psyche. And that's essentially relationship to the unconscious, which it sounds like is what Carolyn Stevens was talking about, that's what they help you do. If this gets terribly repetitious, let me know. What I wanted to do first was draw a kind of diagram of Jung's conceptualization of the psyche and the structure of the psyche. I hope Carolyn didn't do this, but if she did, we'll talk about it again. I'm going to put here in the middle the individual. And then I'm going to put here on this side consciousness, reality. This is the world. This is really collective consciousness. And then I'm going to put on this side the collective unconscious. I'm going to assume that these are terms that are familiar, so if they're not, just stop me. Now, Jung said that the individual is the mirror. It mirrors the collective unconscious. And he said that here, between the individual and the collective consciousness, is the persona. And this is the function that allows us, that allows our own individuality to relate to the conscious world, to the world out there. And then let me read to you what he says here. He says, first about the individual. The individual stands, as it were, between the conscious part of the collective psyche and the unconscious part. He is the reflecting surface in which the world of consciousness can perceive its own unconscious historical image. Accordingly, the individual would be a point of intersection or a dividing line, neither conscious nor unconscious, but a bit of both. So then if we do a line down here, we could have consciousness and we would have unconsciousness. And then he says that between individuality and the beyond individuality, which appears to be the innermost core of ego consciousness and of the unconscious alike, we find the collective unconscious. And then he says that the place between the individual and the collective unconscious, corresponding to the persona's position between the individual and external reality, appears to be empty. Then he goes on to say, experience has taught me, however, that here too a kind of persona exists, but a persona of a compensatory nature, which in a man would be called the anima. The anima would thus be a compromise formation between the individual and the unconscious world, that is, the world of historical images or primordial images.